Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're listening to this podcast because you love the small business owner that I'm about to feature, I want you to know that we chat with lovable small business owners every week. You can get this podcast sent directly to your phone by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Just Ice. Just Ice is located at the plant in back of the yards, and they provide craft ice for cocktails throughout Chicago. If you could just start with the basics, tell me your name and the name of your business.
My name is Rosanna Lloyd, and the name of our business is Just Ice Incorporated.
And then could you tell me the story of Just Ice from little baby seedling to where it is today?
Little baby seedling. I was working as a race mechanic at the time for SRAM Neutral Support, and my now ex-husband was working as a bartender. And he was purchasing blocks of ice from ice carvers and cutting them up in the basement of the hotel that he worked at because he'd seen some people doing something similar in New York. So we actually met two guys from New York, Zachary Gelnar Rubin and Richie Bucato from 100 Weight Ice. And I was immediately fascinated by it. So I went out to New York and worked with them for about a week. They were basically making block ice in the back of their restaurant there. And so I came back and we were going to partner with them originally, but some things fell through. You know, that's how business goes. So I borrowed some money from my parents. We saved up some money. He borrowed a little bit of money from his parents. And then we started the business.
And just to take one step back for the folks who haven't heard of Just Ice before, when you say you started the business, what is this business up to?
Oh, what are we up to? Yes, we're up to making ice. We make perfectly clear, large block ice. So we're a craft ice company. We manufacture all of our ice in 300-pound blocks and then break it down with bandsaws and hand package it for our customers. And it's perfectly clear. It looks beautiful. It melts slower because it's a more homogeneous crystalline structure. It melts slower, and it also looks really great in a drink, and it also has less mineral content than your regular ice does.
All right.
It tastes better.
You're helping all of us drink delicious cocktails here in Chicago.
Yes.
And perhaps elsewhere. You can bring me back to where we were.
Yes. Okay. I opened the business in February of 2013. We got a space over at Grand and Western in a place called The Bindery. It was tiny space. We had 500 square feet. And then I talked the owner into knocking down a wall, and then we had 700 square feet. So for reference, we now have 4,000 square feet. So it's a really big difference. For 2 years, me and my cousin, it was basically just the two of us. We're both like 5 feet tall, and we just pulled ice out of bins and then bandsawed it all day. We had a ridiculous process. It was very undeveloped. So I do have 3 employees who have been with me for about 4 years now. They've helped me with a lot of that process development.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been through the whole process together. The big step for us was when we moved down here to the plant.
I'm curious about what context you exist in. Do you have competitors who create this kind of ice here in Chicago?
No, just 100 Weight in New York. I think 100 Weight was one of the earlier craft ice companies to open. There's a lot more of them now. We did not have competition when we opened, which was awesome. So it was interesting in that sense because it's a new industry, but an old industry. There's tons and tons of wholesale ice sellers in the United States. But as far as craft ice goes, really new.
So I can imagine that starting this business, for better or for worse, the city of Chicago probably wasn't entirely sure how to regulate you or what to look out for. How do you go about maintaining all of the right licensure and staying good with the city in a craft ice business?
Yeah. Well, we're a wholesale food establishment. For us, it was actually pretty easy. We're fortunate because ice is pretty low risk. If we were doing something like unpasteurized juices or bitters, there's a lot of things that have a much higher health risk when you're talking about bottling stuff or curing stuff. So we're basically just freezing water. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. So as far as barriers to entry, it was not very high. It was mostly mechanical equipment, purchasing equipment, learning about equipment, all that. But licensing was fairly easy. I mean, they come in for inspections, kind of look around and go, yeah, okay, this is weird, but it's fine.
What does it mean to you to have this business in Chicago? Like, could you imagine starting it anywhere else? Or are there any sort of influences that could encourage you to be elsewhere?
I feel really fortunate to be in Chicago because we have a huge restaurant industry. This is the best place to be for wholesale food business. It's one of the most popular test markets when people are rolling out new products. Everyone's really innovative. There's just so many new restaurants opening every year, and there's new restaurants closing every year too. But I think it's a very exciting industry to be in.
And you mentioned that you started in a 500 square foot space and now you're working with 4,000. So what has it been like to scale up, and what have you had to get a lot better at to do that?
What we've had to get better at is workplace organization. As you can see, we're going through our 5S training. I think we were fortunate to actually start in 500 square feet because we were forced to maximize it.
You just mentioned that you're going through a 5S process. For folks who aren't familiar with that, can you tell me more about what it is and how you arrived at that?
So 5S, it stands for, the first S is sort, the second S is straighten, the third S is shine, the fourth S is standardize, and the fifth S is sustain. Basically, the thought is that any stranger should be able to walk into your workplace and look at it and know exactly where everything is and how it functions, because everything's clearly labeled. There's only things there that need to be there. There's nothing extraneous there. And it makes for a much safer, much more easy to manage workspace. So no one's stopping and shutting down a saw going, oh my God, where's the wrench? Where's the hook? Where's the thing? Right? Because you can't find it.
Yeah. And how did you arrive at this particular setup?
So it's part of the lean manufacturing training that we're doing through IMEC. IMEC stands for the Illinois Manufacturing Excellence Coalition, or Center, one of those two. We got a Cook County Workforce Grant for employee education. And so we're putting everyone through lean manufacturing. Lean manufacturing was not invented, but popularized by Toyota back in the day when everybody used to do mass production. So this year we're doing three different sections of lean manufacturing training. One of them was value stream mapping, which is basically process design. So everybody's going through our entire process and looking at it and evaluating it and trying to come up with better solutions for what we're already doing as a team. Mm-hmm. So if you can involve your workforce in that, it's actually really valuable, and it sort of gives them ownership of the process.
So for people who are listening who have some interest in becoming an entrepreneur, they may be hearing you talk about this process and saying, wow, she must be a process engineer. How do you build that kind of capacity?
I mean, I have no formal education in any of that. I went to Harold Washington Community College for business and didn't finish my degree. I think that as far as if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur goes, for me, this happened because I wanted to foster good relationships with my community. So I think paying attention to the organizations that are around you and joining them and paying attention to what the rest of the industry are doing. Even though we service the restaurant industry, we're manufacturing. I try to pay attention to what other manufacturing companies are doing and what they're moving towards, because as an industry, you want to always be moving towards something better. Not necessarily bigger, but better. So that means more efficient, less waste, less impact on the environment, all of those things. And that's kind of part of the building that we're a part of as well. So the building that we're in is called The Plant, and it's a circular economy. And so being part of that community has also, I think, done wonders for the business, just because it's a community of other food entrepreneurs that I can talk to about problems. We've all sort of pledged to reduce our waste and reuse our waste, and if possible, use our waste streams to help other people in the building. So having a group effort where something like that is concerned is a great deal of help, because when you own a business and you think like, I want to go green, I want to like stop using plastic, and I want to like recycle all my stuff, and you're just doing it by yourself, it's really hard. When you have a whole community of people trying to do that, it becomes infinitely easier.
So throughout your almost 7 years of experience, what would you say has been the most challenging part about maintaining this business?
I think the first 2 years were the toughest because I had literally no life during that time. I was trying to do everything myself, and it wore me out. So I think the most difficult part of maintaining a business is maintaining the energy to maintain a business.
During those first 2 years when you were maybe losing steam, what did you do to reinvigorate yourself?
Oh boy. It took like a year for me to like kind of get back on track. I hired some great people. I was able to trust them with moving the business forward when I wasn't there. Took a vacation. Took a couple vacations.
So part of our goal is to make sure we're amplifying the voices of entrepreneurs who have specific advice for the city. So what do you think that piece of advice would be?
I would say There's a lot of great grants that the city offers. I don't think they're publicized well enough. There could be a little bit more transparency as far as what's available, because what happens is all the grants sort of end up going to the same people every year, every year, every year. And then just my own personal beef with the city is, so we do delivery, and we do delivery downtown. And over the past 5 years, there's been a marked increase in ticketing. And they've removed a lot of the loading zones that used to be available. So at this point, if you run a delivery business in the city of Chicago and you're downtown doing deliveries, you will get tickets. You'll get tickets about once a week, most likely. We paid probably upwards of $3,000 in tickets last year. It was a really high bill. And I'm actually going down to City Hall to harangue somebody about this. But adding more loading zones, at this point, it seems almost predatory, because they've taken away loading zones and they've added these commercial loading zone spaces that you have to pay to park in, but it costs more than regular city parking. I don't see how that's any way, shape, or form helping the businesses in the city of Chicago. If anything, it's hurting all of them all the time. I mean, there's alleys that the entire alley is designated a no loading zone. That's what alleys are for. So that's where I start to get a little confused and feel like they're just doing it for the revenue. You know what I mean? This is not for anyone's safety. This is not because anyone needs to access or egress or anything. It's because they want the money. And that I find offensive.
So you can take your time thinking about this one, but I'm wondering if you could describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago in just one word or one phrase. What would that word or phrase be?
Exciting. I love doing business in the city of Chicago. It's a new thing every day. Every time you go into a restaurant, it's always a madhouse. There's good and bad things about the industry. You know, some of the bad things are there's high turnover. So we see a lot of new people in all the restaurants that we service every day. But the good thing is that all of our customers are really fun. So if you're on deliveries, you get to deal with people in kitchens all day. I genuinely enjoy doing business here because there's so many big personalities in the city, I think. Another exciting thing about doing business in the city of Chicago is always just the weather. We've had so many crazy weather occurrences, pipes backing up, things flooding, things freezing, things blowing off the roof, things catching on fire, like, you know, all through various weather instances. So that's always exciting. it's terrible, but I enjoy it in a weird way sometimes, you know. I will say I am very rarely bored.
Rosanna, before we wrap up, is there anything that's important to you to share about Just Ice?
We've been in business for 6 years, and we're trying really hard to have a sustainable business without a massive investment. So a lot of people say, oh, if you raise the minimum wage, you're going to kill all the small businesses. Or, you know, if you raise taxes, you're going to kill all the small businesses. So at this point, our lowest paid employee is $15 an hour. We offer health care and dental. We offer employee education and paid vacation and sick leave. But I think the important thing that I want people to know is that you can run a small business and do it in a sustainable manner. It is a daunting task when you start a business to say, I can't pay employees. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. You just have to keep hacking away at it and getting more efficient, a little bit more efficient every day, fixing little things every day. And I think that one of the things that I've seen is that sometimes you just have to move slow and you don't see results right away, but eventually you will see results and then you end up with a really stable footing.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.